Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another on-time episode of Pop Therapy.
When was the last time we've recorded on a Tuesday and stuck to schedule?
It's been a while.
Like a really long time, hey?
I know. But you know what? We're here. We're doing it.
We are doing it, folks. We're doing it. Let's see if we continue this next week.
I believe in us. As long as it's well-timed, I was thinking, like, is this a well-timed day for all the TV that we have going on right now?
Definitely not. It's not. Yeah. I think Thursday is the better day.
Yeah. So we might have to make a permanent shift to Thursday.
Yeah, it's just tough because, like, Thursday is, you know, everyone is like, oh, tomorrow's Friday, and they're just checked out on Thursday, and then you go for drinks or you hang out.
With who? Speak for yourself.
True. I am speaking for me. But right, yeah, I think Thursdays do make more sense.
Okay, well, we'll keep you guys posted on whether we're going to change up our schedule permanently. But for right now, we're back with another epi, and we've got things to say.
Number one being, I think I'm cursed. So okay. Last week I told you Mimi threw up on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
The stain came out with the hydrogen peroxide.
Sick. Good.
Today, Mimi threw up again on the couch.
Why is she so ill?
It was a hairball this time, so it wasn't bad.
Oh.
And then, yesterday, my hot water bag broke. And I've had this hot water bag since 2018. It's the only one that's lasted this long. Like, I sleep on it, and it's never broken. And it broke yesterday as I was just leaning back on it on my couch reading. And it left a big water stain. And, its outline is, like, yellow-orange.
Oh, no.
So then I got the shout spray from Amazon. It did shit all. So
what?
Then I put hydrogen peroxide, and I'm waiting for it to sit, and we'll see. We'll find out. But this is so annoying.
That is so annoying. So many stains. That's the problem with having a light couch. Like, you see everything that's on there. You see every stain. You're constantly cleaning it. Yeah. Like, it looks so nice, but it is very tedious.
I know. It's worth it, but it's annoying.
Yeah, that's rough. I wonder if there must be a special way to get, like, water stains out, because I feel like they're a special type of stain.
Yeah, it's just that, like, I get too scared to Google that, because then I don't want to hear that I have to get it professionally done and spend a bunch of money, or, like, it's so far gone and I can't do anything about it. It's just like, yeah. You know how you're so excited to go to the dentist as a kid, but then when you're an adult, you don't want to go? Because
absolutely not. What kid is excited to go to the dentist?
Oh, I used to get so excited.
What?
My dentist had, like, this treasure chest of toys, and it was just a fun time. Like, I was losing teeth anyway.
No way. I had the opposite experience. My dentist used to torture me. He one time took off my shoes and threw them in a snowbank.
Do we need to file a report?
Honestly, it was a bit of child abuse, and it carried on into my, like, early adulthood.
That is actually so. What happened? That's so weird.
He was fucking weird. Like, he'd always, like, tease you or, like, pick on you or bully you by, like, actually doing mean things, like throwing your fucking runners in a snowbank. Like, what is funny about that?
No one's laughing.
And, like, of course, because he was the only dentist.
Dental tool in your mouth and you can't laugh.
I know. And he was the only dentist within, like, a 20-kilometer radius from Minnesota. So
that's brutal.
He was our only option. And I was so jealous of my friend Sean, because he got to go to this bougie-ass fucking dentist in Mooseman, which was, like, an hour away, and you could watch TV while you were getting your teeth cleaned.
Yeah,
and
meanwhile,
I'm, like, getting tortured.
Yeah, you're, like, having to
fend for
yourself.
I think this is where my trauma
yourself.
Started.
Oh my God, that is brutal. I'm sorry you went through that.
Thank you.
What I was going to say was, like, it's like going to the dentist as an adult. You don't want to hear that your teeth are decaying and you have to drop a bunch of dough every time.
Yeah. Whenever I go to the dentist, it's because my front tooth broke off and it's at least $1,600.
Did I know that?
I think so. Remember, I think it broke one time when we were friends.
No, that did not happen.
It didn't?
No, I would have definitely remembered that.
Oh. Well, it was recent. It was within like the last like 4 or 5 years that it broke off for the like the last most recent
Holy
time.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's gross.
Well, that's my story. I'm cursed.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope that doesn't Thank happen you. Again. And I hope Mimi starts feeling better.
Thank you. The other thing is I finished my books that I ordered last week and I just ordered 5 more today.
Okay, wait. You said you cried in one. Why did you cry? What was it about?
So it's about this girl who gets released from prison and she's off to search for her daughter who she gave birth to while she was in prison. And there's only one guy who can help her that's connected to her daughter. And they sort of form a romance, but no one can know that they're seeing each other because otherwise she'll never get to see her daughter. But it's really good. You should read it on your Kindle.
What's it called?
Remember Him. Or Remembering Him. I don't know.
Is it another Colleen Hoover book?
Yeah.
Does she write all her books in like the same style?
Yeah, and it was kind of pissing me off. She also loves to use certain words a lot, like, oh, and then he fingered his button to get his shirt off. And it's like the most PG scene. It's not even a sex scene. It's like he came home from work and he's all alone changing into different clothes. So he fingered the button on his shirt. Like, why, Colleen? Why?
That's really weird. I noticed that when I used to be really into reading books of the same author that there was such a trope and like every single book had the exact same plot, just like different scenery and different names.
No, but it's not only that. She like always does the one chapter from the boy's perspective, one chapter from the girl's perspective. And she always includes these freaking letters. But I can't stop reading
it. Yeah, I noticed you had another like 2 Colleen Hoover books in your pile.
Yeah, I was like, well, you know what? I'm pretty much almost done her collection. I can't stop now.
Yeah.
But also, you never answered my question when you asked me about Verity.
Do you think because I started Googling it because I've totally I saw a TikTok that said that question and I was like, oh yeah, there's that big twist at the end. But then I couldn't actually remember like what the plot was because I read that book way too fast and nothing stays in my brain. So then when I asked you and then you asked me back and I was like, fuck, now I have to Google this. And then I got halfway through Googling and I was like, fuck, it doesn't really matter.
Ghosted me?
Yeah.
I was like, she never not responds to me.
I think I forgot halfway through my Googling that it was for the purpose of responding to you and then just never came back to it.
Her brain is fried, folks.
Yeah.
Well, we can get back to that another time.
I'll have to read it again.
It's so good. It was such an easy read, too.
Yeah, super good book.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into this week's Hot Tops, starting with your favorite girls and boy, the Kardashians.
That is an alternative fact.
You don't love Rob Kardashian?
I actually don't. But so Ye, remember I said that he was banned from social media? Yeah. I was wrong. He was suspended because he was back on Instagram and he posted a photo that I actually found to be pretty funny. It was like a news headline. It goes, Ye cuts ties with Kanye West.
That was funny.
Yeah. But that's not news. He has been saying in interviews that Kris Jenner slept with Drake.
You go, girl.
And I'm like, why? Then why'd you get so mad when they were saying that Kim slept with Drake? Do you remember that?
I remember Drake was one of his targets of his like hate campaigns, but I couldn't remember why.
It was because he was rumored to have had a thing with Kim.
Oh.
And then another thing about Ye is he got into a fight with a parent at one of his kids' soccer games and the whole thing was caught on tape.
Oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What was the fight about?
I didn't watch.
Good.
I just don't care.
Neither do I.
Kim's kids dressed up as iconic R&B singers. And I wanted to bring this up because, listeners, Laura did not know who Sade is.
Sure as hell didn't know it was pronounced like that either. I thought it was Sade.
Sade. How do you not know who Sade is?
I still don't know. You sent me her songs and I'm like, never heard these in my life. I don't know where I was, like when she was famous. I guess she's still famous. I don't know. Never heard of her.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's really all I had to say about it. But Chicago looks so cute.
Those were really cute costumes. And mm-hmm. speaking of costumes for Halloween, can we just touch on a few of these? Did you see Kendall's?
The cucumber?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah. She was also Jessie or something from Toy Story.
Yeah, she went thought and then she went funny.
Yeah.
That was definitely a very thoughty
I liked outfit. The thought one.
She looked really good.
So good.
Did you see all of Kylie's costumes?
Yes, I did. Wait, I just saw the Mrs. Frankenstein one.
Well, then she had all these like alien costumes and all these like photo shoots. There was like the Bride of Frankenstein. Is Bride of Frankenstein's name Elvira?
I don't know.
Well, she had like both Bride of Frankenstein and Elvira, who might be the same person, but they were different types of looks. And then she had all these like alien looking ones on her Instagram. There was like two different alien looks.
Costumes.
They were like very, the thing is, if you've got all the means in the world, yes, you should have a sick ass costume. But like at a certain point, it's not even like original or cool because it's like you pay so much money for this to be perfection and it's going beyond like what is the reality for a costume. Like her costumes were like absolutely next level. They're like basically if you're filming Avatar, that is like what her costume was. And by then it's like so beyond the means of any normal person that it stops being cool.
Totally. I agree. My favorite costume by Kylie, though, was the Christina Aguilera one from the music video Dirty. She looked so good.
Did you see Christina Aguilera dressed up as herself from like
No, but I heard of that.
Yeah, from her stripped video or something. Stripped? I don't know. Mm. Anyway, she looked sick. My favorite costume still is Heidi Klum's The Worm. Even though I don't think it has anything. I don't know if it has anything.
Costumes.
I know. They're insane. But I don't know if it has
party, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Halloween party. But the thing is, I don't know if she was making a joke of like how this past year TikTok has been like, would you still love me if I was a worm? Oh. And I don't know. I thought that when I saw it, I was like, that's hilarious. She's like playing on this viral TikTok of like, would you still love me if I was a worm? But then like none of her jokes in any of her interviews are about that. So I'm like, is she not making a play on that? And
I would not associate that level of humor with her.
Yeah. So then I was really disappointed because I was like, that would have been epic if that was why you were like, you know, that meme that's going around of like the Halloween spirit Halloween costume.
Yeah.
And they had, I sent it to you, the one that was like inquisitive girlfriend and it was just a picture of a worm.
Yeah.
I thought that's what she was doing, but clearly I was wrong. But it was hilarious to watch her like roll around on the ground as a worm.
Yeah, she has a sense of humor and she does have good costumes. But speaking of costumes, Kim Kardashian shows up to Tracee Ellis Ross's birthday dinner in her Mystique costume and no one else is in a costume.
What?
She showed up in her, you know, the Mystique one with like the blue. She looked like an avatar.
Yeah, I saw that also. I don't know who Mystique is.
Neither do I. No.
But she did look like, fucking sick, though.
So sick. Like, green eyes, orange hair, slick back hair, and then the blue costume. She shows up to this pre in the costume. Everyone else is dressed in, like, cocktail attire.
Oh, my God. That's embarrassing.
But
that's hilarious.
I thought it was cool that she's close with Tracee Ellis Ross. You know how much I love her. From the show from Girlfriends.
Grown-ish. Oh.
And Grown-ish and Black-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was sick. I don't know if there's any other costumes that I really cared that much about. The thing is, all these celebrities, like, are they actually going out? It seems like nobody's going out. They're just, like, doing these costumes, staying in their own house. And it's like, what's the fun of doing all these costumes if you're not actually going out with them?
It seems like nobody wants to work these days.
Get up your fucking ass and party.
Okay. I really thought we were in sync there.
I'm sorry.
Well, enough about the Kardashians. Shep, what's his last name? Rose?
Yeah, Rose.
Shep Rose Southern Charm apparently tried stand-up comedy. He posted a story with a text exchange between him and Craig, and Craig was basically just like, good luck, buddy, like, break a leg type of a thing. I didn't see any footage of it, but I was just like, what could he possibly have to say that he thinks is funny other than something probably like misogynistic?
Misogynistic, patriarchal, rich, entitled.
Yeah.
Like, so funny.
Yeah, so that's about it. So do you remember at BravoCon, Robin and Giselle said that there was someone from the Summer House cast that was walking barefoot in the bathrooms?
Yeah.
Well, Robin revealed that it was Amanda Petula.
That's hilarious.
That's
that
disgusting.
That is an Amanda move.
That's disgusting.
Do you go barefoot in your bathroom at home?
Yeah, where strangers aren't there with their shoes from outside.
But then I saw that something else, Amanda like threw shade back at like Lindsay somehow about this whole thing.
Oh.
Did you see that?
No, I just saw headlines, but I didn't like click the sound so I could hear the actual video.
Yeah, I don't know what happened either, but same thing. It was like I saw a headline. And
oh, about the fans?
I don't know what it was about. Okay, well, okay. No, there was that. I did see that.
Okay. Yeah, Amanda and Paige were on Watch What Happens Live, and Andy asked the girls who's the rudest to fans, and Amanda immediately said Lindsay, like, without hesitation. So then Lindsay went on a tear and kept posting photos to her story being like, I'm so rude to my fans. But she kept posting pictures with Carl.
There was no fans. I was like, how do these help your case? There's like, it's you in an event with your like boyfriend. There's no fans in these photos.
Like, was she just trying to say like, I'm there to support my boyfriend, I'm not there for the fans?
No, I think she was trying to say, why would I go to all these events if I didn't like my fans? And it's like, well, because you're supporting your boyfriend. And like, just because you're there doesn't mean you're being nice to fans.
Yeah. And then Luke chimed in and posted a picture of Lindsay with him and fans being like, Lindsay's so nice to fans. Here's another picture of Lindsay with her fans.
Yeah. And then Lindsay deleted all of the, deleted all of them, pulled Lisa Rinna. So I now see the tea. So I looked it up. So then someone, so once it was revealed that Amanda was the shoe person.
BravoCon barefoot bathroom bandit.
Yeah. So then one fan had commented like, oh, Amanda got hers and she gave Lindsay some. And then Amanda replied, should I start posting photos of me wearing shoes to try to convince everyone it's not true?
Oh, nice.
That's actually really funny.
I like Amanda.
So do I. I just love all this tea. I cannot wait for Summer House. It's going to be so good.
And Vanderpump. I'm actually looking forward to Vanderpump.
Same.
They've been putting in work to promote it, though, with all this tea and shadiness.
Yeah, which reminds me of Tom Sandoval's costume, which was Raquel at BravoCon in the TomTom sweater. And he wrote like a caption like, oh my gosh, Raquel has to stop coming to TomTom or something. I forget what it was. It was so funny, though.
Thirsty fan or something like that.
Yeah, it was so epic.
Yeah, well, I can't wait for that. It should be coming up soon. I can't talk all of a sudden. Am I having a stroke?
I don't know, but at least I'm here. I'll start recording.
It's coming out soon. It should be. Jesus. Yeah.
Okay, in Bachelor news, we've got a lot of weddings, engagements happening.
Yeah, what the hell?
A lot of relationship news, which of course, coming out of Bachelor Nation. So, Dean Unglert and Kaylin Miller Keys.
What a last name.
Finally got engaged. They've been dating for like 3 years, I think, since they met on Paradise.
Sorry.
They've been dating since then. And they've always been in the media because Dean's been so adamant that like he doesn't care about getting engaged. He like sees her as his life partner and like getting engaged isn't a thing. He's always been like, why do I care about spending so much money on a ring that I don't even want? So then they had a deal that like he would, if he proposed, she would buy him a truck. So then they're traveling, they go on he posted a bunch of stories about them going on this epic hike. And then finally he proposed to Kaylin, and then the next day she's like, I gotta go make a purchase or something like that. I don't know if she actually did buy the truck. But anyways, they're engaged. They seem really happy. Happy for them.
I don't know who they are.
Yeah, I didn't figure you'd know many of these people. And then Becca Kufrin and Thomas Jacobs, who also met on Paradise, like last season, I think, maybe the season before,
mm-hmm.
they got engaged again. Because if you recall, Becca proposed to Thomas first time.
Yeah.
And then Thomas proposed to Becca. And he posted like a cute little reel where he had taken pictures, like, you know, that trend where they take pictures of the ring.
And they're near the girl.
Yeah. Some of them I was like, how did she not see? Because some of them, like, he was had the ring on when they were playing cards. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's pretty, like, jeez. Bold.
Yeah. So they didn't get engaged at the beach? I can't remember.
No, they didn't. They just, like, left dating, I think.
Okay. Well, yay for them again.
Yeah. And then Serena, I forget her last name.
Pitt.
Serena Pitt and Joe Amabile, who also met on Paradise last season, got married.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange because, so they posted this video of them at the courthouse wearing like regular clothes and wearing masks. Like, yeah. Where in the world is still requiring you to wear masks?
Yeah, very weird. And was that a courthouse?
Apparently it was like, yeah, like the Chicago or New York courthouse or something like that.
Oh,
like,
it must have been Chicago because of Joe. But it looked like a mini chapel, TBH.
Yeah, no, it was just like City Hall or the court, whatever, like wherever you go to get the marriage thing. And then she posted it and then she said, we're still getting married this September. And I found that very misleading because I was like, September, like, dude, September's passed.
I think she said in September, not this September. But she swears
at this September
next year, right?
Yeah, of course. So I don't know. The whole thing was strange. Like the masks, the fact they were wearing just like regular clothes.
Yeah.
I just found it bizarre. And like, why are you getting married that far in advance?
You know, when people try really hard to show that they're so casual and low maintenance.
Yeah.
Those are the vibes that I got.
Mm.
Still like, happy pick me for them, couples. Mm-hmm. Choose me.
Yeah.
Love me.
And then Kevin went and Astrid Locke, who also met on Paradise.
Paradise, wow.
It's kind of crazy. They were like on the first season together and they are like the most chill, relaxed, like perfect couple for each other. They got married this weekend.
Oh, nice. How long have they been together?
Probably like 3-4 years, like since Paradise, like season 1 or 2. He's from Canada, from Toronto. They live in Toronto. They have a little boy. They just had a baby boy this past year named August.
Did they have him in August?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then the other news to drop was Gabby and Eric potentially breaking up. So apparently she's on Dancing with the Stars right now. And apparently the last two episodes she has been wearing her engagement ring. And then when somebody was doing it, red carpet interview or something with her and her partner, and they were like, so like, what's going on with Eric, like, is he still supporting you? And she gave a really weird vague answer where she just said, like, you know, we're just both very busy right now and we're supporting each other separately from afar
and we're allowing one another to pursue our individual interests.
Yeah, it's like, that sounds like a fucking breakup to me.
Yeah, it's like a soft launch of the breakup.
But you know what, it, like, going on Dancing with the Stars after.
Right after?
It's always been like they immediately. Every person who's ever done that has broken up.
It's a recipe for disaster. Like, you're not getting any time with your new SO.
No. Like, that's the time you should be like out in public doing all the public things, like really embracing your relationship, focusing on it.
It's so demanding. Like, you're dancing all day. You're pretty close with your dance partner. Like, you don't have time to focus on anything else. You're so tired too.
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
But that's sad because I thought they were like a good match.
I did too. It is sad.
Wah. Well, in other news, You season 4 is coming out soon. I think like in a month.
That?
Yeah. So, you know, it took me a really long time to watch the latest season. Like, I think I didn't watch it until a year after it came out. And I'm actually looking forward to the next season. Mm-hmm.
I watched season 1 and then tried season 2 and I was just like, I'm not interested anymore. So I stopped watching.
Yeah, he is a bit hard to watch.
Yeah.
Penn Badgley.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Giselle and Tom officially announced their divorce, which we all saw coming. they had a pretty soft launch too.
It is interesting that they worked out all the logistics before actually filing, which seems really smart.
Yeah.
Because it's like they did all the working through it kind of semi in private, because no one like fully knew that they were divorced yet, and then came out with the announcement when it was done.
But so Giselle and Tom's divorce has brought up this concept again, and it's trending on TikTok, which is there are a lot of married women who are single mothers. And that's what Giselle was.
For sure. Yeah.
Have you seen his interviews?
Yeah. Well, I've seen the clips where he's like, you know, if I don't care about it, like if it doesn't matter to me, I don't care about it. Don't focus on it. Don't spend any time on it. Like,
wow, you sound just like him.
Thanks. That's really
good. But he was basically just like, football's my main priority, my greatest passion, this and that. Like, never mentions his family.
No. Even though his kids look like carbon copies of him.
Yeah. I always wondered, like, how they met and how they got together. Such an odd pairing.
Yeah. Not good. It's but, not yeah, great. Like, Giselle's announcement basically confirmed that, like, it's because we haven't been spending any fucking time together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's all connected to this, like, I'm going to retire. No, I'm not going to retire. This, like, flippy floppiness.
Yeah, because I remember when he was retiring, it was framed as Tom Brady is finally taking time off to spend with his family. And then it was like, psych!
You guys are like, my could you family. Imagine? I couldn't imagine being his family in that scenario. Like, especially his kids. Like, his kids never get to fucking see him. And he's missed so much of their lives. Like, I'd be so resentful.
I know. It's sad. But I am rooting for Giselle and his kids.
Same.
So remember last week Rihanna came out with new music?
Yeah.
Did you listen to it?
Yes, and it's not even in my mind because it's like was so not forgettable. Eventful. Yeah.
It was boring.
Yeah.
I was disappointed.
I did play it in bed late at night because I needed to show Travis who did not care at all. And then you fell asleep
to it?
Yeah. And then I think I like swiftly turned it off because I was like, you know what? This isn't that good.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I hope she comes out with more music and better music.
Same.
Speaking of music, Takeoff from Migos passed away today in the early hours of today. So I don't know if you – I feel like you're going to ask to explain
Migos. I heard the story, but yes, 100%, I didn't know who this person is and still don't.
Okay.
It's an awful tragedy.
So Migos.
I just don't know who they are. I thought Migos was one person.
No. So Migos is a group of three rappers, Offset, who is Cardi B's man, Takeoff, who passed away, and Quavo. Quavo was with Saweetie. Do you remember he like beat her up in an elevator and footage got leaked?
All these names sound extremely familiar. I just didn't know they were in a group.
Yeah, because they all have individual songs that they're featured on as well.
Okay.
So Takeoff passed away. It was during a game of dice and someone shot him and he passed away.
That's so fucked up. Like, what is going on in the world? Like,
no,
why are people getting shot when they're playing dice? And what is dice?
Oh, you don't know what dice is?
How do you play dice?
I think you would love dice. I'll teach you after.
Okay. What's the concept? Is it like a game that you could see three rappers playing? Like, is it gambling? Like, I don't know.
That's not what I thought you were going to ask. Is it a game you can see three rappers playing?
It just seems like they're playing it. Like, in my mind, when I hear they're playing dice, I go straight to like, oh, they're playing Sorry. Like, oh, like they're playing Hungry Hungry Hippos. Like, what is this game?
You wager on something and loser has to buy something for everyone. I don't know. Maybe it's... That's how I played it at PLG. Oh, that's how I played it at a firm. And basically, it's like, I think if you have to try rolling the highest, but you get three die. So, you know, if you get like a 1, 2, 3, that's the lowest that you could get and you're automatically out. But yeah, I'm going to have to refresh my memory and tell you about this after.
That sounds like a game that would take 5 minutes to play and nobody should be getting that upset about.
I know. It's tragic. It's
very weird. That is tragic. That's so fucked up.
It's really fucked up. You know what else is fucked up? The View had children dress up in costumes for Halloween, and they made this one kid dress up as an Oscar with a red handprint on the side of the cheek to represent the Oscar slap. Such poor taste.
I was thinking you were going in a blackface direction, and I was going to be really upset, but that's just weird.
So weird.
I did, although that was a skit on SNL. Was it on SNL that somebody dressed up as, it was a black guy and he stuck a hand to his face. Oh, I know what it was. They did a really funny skit actually. And it was like they were on the red carpet of Halloween. And it was like all the people that you see walking on the streets, like guy in a group costume that he was like Bowen Yang dressed as a cop. He's like guy in a group costume that lost all his friends. Now people think he's just a cop, even though he's part of Village People. Or like guy who just like wants to eat pizza. It was really funny, actually.
The fact that you still watch SNL is funny.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a lot of to watch on the weekend, so I turned it on. And it was actually kind of funny. I like their Halloween episodes. Anyways.
That's it for Hot Tops.
Okay, let's get into Pitch or Ditch a Bitch. And I do know that you have pitches and ditches, so I'll let you start. But I just want to say that I do want to touch on Love is Blind.
Okay, so I watched Dubai Bling, and let me just say that Dubai Bling is exactly what Real Housewives of Dubai should have and could have been. It really was so good. I was so fucking addicted to it. So where do I start? First of all, they're very wealthy. Not like the Real Housewives of Dubai wealthy. They're actually wealthy. So there's that aspect. How old are they? They're like 30s to 40s.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're actually wealthy. The other thing is that they speak in Arabic maybe like 60% of the time and then English 40%. So they actually have people who speak Arabic and are from Dubai. Mm-hmm. And then they have like fun, petty drama, not stupid drama. So for example, one of the wives was pissed off with her husband. So to get back at him, she bought a $3 million necklace. And then another incident was this guy, Ibrahim, didn't like the way that Zaina spoke to him. And he was basically like, watch how you speak to me because I'll make you my employee. And she was like, bitch, I am the company. I am the CEO. Next day walks into her office and tries to buy the company.
Wow.
It's so good. Their outfits are so good. It's like over the top. They play actual Arabic music the transitions. It's just exactly what it should have been.
So when you're explaining it, I'm picturing like a show like Vanderpump Rules, but in Dubai, or like
Vanderpump.
Is it a group of friends? Like, I'm just trying to understand the vibe. Like,
it's a group of friends.
And it's a group of young friends that like go out and party, or is it more like housewives where it's like everyone has their families and they just like sometimes hang out all together?
So some are single and some are single with kids because their husband passed away or they divorced or something. And the others are like they have young kids and they're trying to conceive more kids. So it's kind of like Bling Empire. Did you ever watch Bling Empire?
No.
Okay, so it's...
But is that what it's supposed to be, like a spinoff, like Bling Dubai?
Oh!
You never put that together? That was my first thought.
No, now that you're saying this, I think I remember reading somewhere about that. So yes, I do think that's what it is.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's like Bling Empire. It's a mixed bag of friends. And so you never watched it?
Bling Empire?
Damn, I was going to say Ibrahim reminds me a lot of Kane from Bling Empire. And I hate Kane and I hate Ibrahim.
Wow. Cool.
But you should, you would actually like it. I know they speak Arabic like 60% of the time, but it's still so entertaining.
Okay.
And obviously there's subtitles.
Yeah. Not much of a reader when it comes to TV, but I'll maybe try it.
I am.
Okay, I know I said I wouldn't do it, but I binged all of the episodes. I thought when I started it that Love is Blind on Netflix most recent season was already over, and I was like, sick, I'll be able to like watch it straight to finish. I won't have to wait for any episodes. So annoyed when I got to like whatever the last episode was and there wasn't another one. Super but frustrating.
You still had like 7 episodes you got to watch in bulk.
I think there was like even more. I think there was like 10. It was a lot. At least 9. And yeah, it was nice to watch them all together because I really actually like this season. Like, I like the characters. Like, they're way better than last year's characters. Interesting. Why don't you like it?
Because last week, remember, you were like, by the way, Love is Blind, should I watch it? And I immediately said no.
Yeah.
I don't like the people. And I just think that, like, nothing's ever going to compare to season one. Even though the quality of season one was shit, it's just that you're not going to get that kind of cast again.
Yeah, but I almost, like, none of these people that I'm watching, do I feel like they're only on this for fame, except for that guy, Andrew.
Yeah.
The guy that put fucking
eye drops
in and then pretended that he was crying. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so messed up.
That's so embarrassing too.
Yeah. But I know that they're all doomed to fail and none of them will actually get married and have a long and lasting life like season
one. Even Alex and Brennan? Alexa
is way too fucking cool for Brennan. She is so bomb. Her personality is fire.
It's I love true. Her. Like, so when I watch her and Brennan together, I'm always just like, does she like him? But then it'll cut to a confessional where she'll be like, oh my God, he's perfect. I love him. But I'll watch them interact and it looks like she doesn't want to be around him.
Yeah, I don't think that she actually is that into him. I think she can do like way better. And I think that after this, she's going to have so many suitors knocking her door down that she's going to be just fine.
I did feel bad for Brennan with the way that her family was talking to him and about him.
He was so sweet during that whole thing, calling everyone sir and ma'am.
I know. And they were like,
I didn't think his family was that rude. What were they doing?
Well, they were saying like, there's no way she's going to end up with this chump and this like they came around in the end. Obviously, once Brennan and the dad had a one-on-one. But before that, they were so rude, especially cutting him off and being like, none of this sir, ma'am stuff, okay? We're not in the South.
Yeah. I thought they were just trying to make him comfortable when they said that.
There's a way to say it.
Yeah. I don't know. I was very interested to see where she came from, though. Like, her family's obviously super fucking wealthy. Everyone's had a little bit of work done. Her stepmom looks exactly like her. I was like, no way.
There was a tweet that was like, not me waiting to see Alexa's sister as the caption when her stepmom entered the screen.
That was wild.
Mm-hmm. How annoying is Raven and Batiste?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I love Raven in the pool. When she immediately shut down Bartice. Yeah,
that was like, a redeeming moment for her.
Yeah, and as a character, like, I'm not really that enticed by her, but I do really like that I think she's very methodical. I think she thinks through things. I think she is very much a realist. I think she's giving this a real shot. I'm very surprised that, like, her relationship with SK keeps building because I just didn't see it, like, happening.
Yeah, me too. But
I feel like she's just very mature, actually.
Really?
The way she's going about things. Yeah.
Even given what her friends said?
Well, her friends are like, her friends. And, like, they probably know her better than she knows herself. But I still feel like Raven's genuine in terms of trying to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. Minus the whole asking SK to pay for her apartment.
Yeah, what the hell? If he's not living there, what is that about?
Yeah, girl, you can pay for your own apartment.
Yeah, that's very bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the other couples?
Okay, Colleen and Matt.
Doomed.
So doomed. Matt is so annoying, and so is Colleen. But Matt's way more annoying.
That's the thing. Like, he's so ready to fucking – he's got fight or flight, and he is a flyer. Like, he is so ready to jump ship at any sign of anything. But I do think that, like, his instincts are right deep down that, like, Colleen is fully playing him and, like, doesn't actually like him that much. Like, I do think that she's full of shit. I think she's full of shit.
Really?
If there's one person on this show that's faking it, it's her.
Hmm.
But also, like, she is so ridiculous. Like, in the pods where she's like, I just thought everyone would really love talking to a ballet dancer. And then the next breath being like, nobody wants to understand under the surface of a ballet dancer. I'm like, well, that's what you're leading with in every single conversation. And that's the only thing you're talking about. So, like, what do you expect people to do?
I know. Even Cole was asking her, like, in the pods, are you someone who can go deeper in conversation? And she was like, no.
Yeah. Clearly.
And then she said, why doesn't anyone want to be with me?
Yeah. Cole is just, it's so funny. They almost like get the same tropes. It's like Cole, I see Cole as like a Shane, like just so much energy, yes. Really immature, like going nuts all the time. And Zainab is just like, this is way too much for me.
Doesn't Cole remind you of Joe, grocery store Joe, looks wise?
Kind of. Yeah. Looks wise. Yeah. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about Zainab. First of all, she's so hot. I don't know why she's this insecure, but it is bothering me, though,
mm-hmm.
how insecure she is. Like, you can see the cycle. You can see exactly how both of them are pushing each other away. And totally. It's just like a car crash that you can't look away from.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's, she's... And you can see her get in her moods and then not communicate it well. And if she does communicate in such a passive-aggressive manner that, like, she's not direct at all.
She's like, but it's fine. It's fine.
I, like, feel for Cole because I watch these scenes. I'm like, man, you are kind of getting, like, steamrolled over everything and, like, picked on. And she's being really kind of mean to you. Like, totally. I do feel bad for him.
Totally. But the comments that he's making, like, about her not being the type of girl he would normally go for, like, just say that you wouldn't go for brown women. That's what you're trying to say. Or, like, a girl named Zainab, or, like, he said something like, you look like Kim Kardashian. She looks nothing like Kim Kardashian, but they both have, like, the same complexion.
Yeah, totally.
It was giving MAGA vibes.
It's not good.
No.
And then there's Bartice and Nancy, who, like, seemed so great until Bartice saw Raven. Nancy, and then
girl.
And, like, Nancy, I don't know. I really, okay, so Nancy's a little bit weird, like, in the things she says. Like, why are you talking about how you clogged a toilet in a really romantic moment in a tub? But beyond that, I really liked her energy. I thought she was confident and, like, sweet, and I really like how she voiced her views on abortion, but I was also very receptive to other people's perspectives. Like, she wasn't trying to foist her views on someone else. She's being very receptive. It was all great. And then, like, Bartice just had, like, a 180 and all of a sudden, like, isn't into her at all
and won't stop talking about Raven to her.
Yeah, like, when he straight up told her, like, man, she's fire, like, she's got a hot ass body, and, like, of course, like, she's just so hot.
And, like,
what are you doing? You know,
if you see me out, like, you'd see me with someone like Raven. Like, why are you saying this stuff?
So rude.
Yeah, and that's why I just feel for Nancy. I'm just like, Nancy, man, like, you need to leave.
Totally. But all these girls need, like, Alexa's confidence, because that girl, like, she knows who she is. Mm-hmm. She's super confident in her self-image, her personality, her beauty. Like, she's the full package.
I agree.
So I guess we'll see what happens in the next four episodes. I don't know when they come out. Have they already come out?
Tomorrow. No.
Tomorrow. Okay.
It's always Wednesday. And then the following Wednesday will be one episode, and I think it'll be the reunion.
Okay.
But nothing will top last season's reunion with Shake and Shane.
Oh, God. I'm so glad I don't have to think about him ever again.
Cole is kind of like Shake, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they get the same people with the same tropes and, like, similar storylines play out.
Yeah, just different faces.
Yeah.
But Dubai Bling is a pitch for me.
Okay, well, Love is Blind is actually a pitch for me as well.
Okay.
Even though it took me a while to come around to it.
Happy for you.
Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion Part 3.
With Kathy Hilton.
Okay.
Yeah. Take it away.
So first, we have Erica being annoying. I just want to touch on that. When she kept on saying, like, for legal reasons about the earrings. Yeah,
what the fuck was she getting at with that?
And he's like, yeah, but, like, they're in appeal. You're trying to get them back for legal reasons. Like, she just kept reiterating that. It's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, and why do you like, keep saying this? Just be
so annoying. We're saying the same thing. And she goes, for legal reasons.
Yeah. It's like, what are you trying to say with that? Like, what message are you trying to send? Anyways, yes. And then Kathy enters the chat and the tension is so insane. Like, you can feel it through the screen. So then it starts off with Erica coming out and full on saying that Kathy used the F word, like a gay slur, to her, said it to her at the club. And she's the only one, so to speak, that heard this. And she was like literally on the edge of the fucking couch, ready to like say this at the first moment she had the opportunity to.
Yeah. Well, it actually started with Rinna, Dorit, and Erica not saying anything to Kathy. And then Kathy going, hi, girls.
Yeah.
And then it started. But yeah, so Erica saying that she's the only person that Kathy said this to, but then saying that she didn't leak the story. Well, how did anyone hear about it?
Totally.
It was right after the trip, like not even after filming was wrapped up. It was during the trip.
Totally. Like, yeah, you're totally right. Like, it was either her or she told Rinna, and then Rinna's camp leaked it. But it came from her originally. It was interesting to me that they did, like, a full-on HR investigation. And I was just thinking, like, well, I wonder if they called in the DJ to, like, see if he heard it.
Okay, I have thoughts about this whole HR investigation. I don't like the fact that they launch an HR investigation for that, but they don't for the bots. Like, why does Garcelle have to pay out of her pocket for that?
Yeah, totally true.
This is the problem that I have with Bravo and Andy and what they value or show importance to. Like, all their talk about like Black Lives Matter and this and that, like it's very performative. Like, you should actually do something.
Totally. And it doesn't even make sense. Like, it's not like Kathy said the word to Erica. Like, she's like at Erica, she said it like about somebody else. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why would that be an HR thing? Like, I don't understand why.
I guess
HR
they don't want people speaking like that because it's like hate speech.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. It was just so interesting. Like, the whole thing, the whole reunion to me seemed like a direct examination at trial where Andy just kept being like, and then what happened? And then what happened? Okay, then you get in the sprinter van, and then what happened? Like, well, it was just so funny to watch.
So there are two camps. There's one that says Kathy read them all for filth. And the other camp is, if anything, this made Kathy look more guilty. Which one do you think it is?
The former. Because honestly, I think everyone in that room knows that Kathy did say the things that she's accused of saying, but they're not like, they're obviously bad things, but like, they're not so egregious. Like, the whole, like, Lisa keeps focusing on this. You said you were going to take NBC down. And I think she's focusing on that point because she wants to get Kathy kicked off the show. And like, so if they're attacking Bravo and Andy and like whatever, then they might like remove her, as opposed to if she's just like talking shit about the other women because they love that. So I think that's why she keeps harping on that. But like, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think anybody really gives a shit if Kathy did say that the things that she said. They're more concerned about like Rinna and her actions and continuously bringing up and being so intent on bringing Kathy down.
Yeah. And let's be real. Kathy probably could take down Bravo or NBC.
Yeah, I'm sure. It was just so funny, like Kathy being like, I'm going to make you take a lie detector. I'm like, how are you possibly going to make her take a lie detector? And like, are you serious? Like, come on. This is so ridiculous.
She was ready, though, for that reunion.
She was so ready.
She loved it.
So many quips. It was hilarious. Like, she was not.
The credibility one with Erica.
Yeah.
I think I have a bit more credibility than you.
Yeah. For sure. And that one seemed like more natural off the cuff. The one where she's like, and then I did what Rinna did and removed everything in 20 minutes. Like, that was definitely contrived.
Mm-hmm.
But just Lisa was so ridiculous. Like, she was like, it was just so heartbreaking that I was on the end of the abuse. It's like, you were not on the end of the abuse. You were present for her meltdown. None of what she was saying was against you. Like, you were not the target. You were just like around for that moment. Like, how can you possibly say that you're being abused?
Also, wasn't Mauricio at the house when all this happened?
I don't know.
Didn't he hear it? Yeah, they say like, he was there sleeping.
It's just absurd. Like, oh, she started stomping on her glasses. Like, really? that just looks absurd. Like, that just sounds absurd. Like, at least say something more credible. And then she's like, it was just dark. And then she's like, we were in Erica's well-lit room. Like, what are you talking about?
Rinna's done far worse. She's just really trying right now to get her contract renewed. And that's what Kathy said, too. Your contract
was
coming up.
Lisa just wouldn't stop. Like, even when she said, okay, I'm going to put it all behind me, 2 seconds later, she's still taunting her. I'm like, shut the fuck up, Rinna.
But let's
talk. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, let's talk about Kyle. Because she is a professional victim.
Okay, yes. I think a lot of this, how you're viewing things comes with, like, your long history of Kyle and seeing all of this happen. I'm only starting to see, like, what you've seen for all the other seasons in terms of her having this victim mentality. Mm-hmm. Because when I was watching that whole thing, I, too, would have got extremely frustrated at why all of a sudden Kathy's mad at Kyle in that moment.
There was a point where I think Kyle was telling, like, Crystal or Sutton that she's so dramatic. But then as soon as Kathy sits down, she's, like, super dramatic. And I just don't like how big of a hypocrite she is.
Yeah. I just think the tensions are so high and the emotions are so high with her in a relationship with her sisters that, like, she's so on edge and ready to, like, break down at any moment. And I do get the sentiment that, like, a lot of this is a very long history of Kyle bearing the brunt of Kathy's when she's upset at anything. Somehow it turns in to get targeted at Kyle. And I felt like there's a lot of, like, long sibling history involved in this.
But I mean,
which maybe made her emotional.
Kathy was visibly upset. Everyone saw that at the club. And she had been upset since, like, the afternoon when no one was helping her plug her tequila. Kyle decided to stay at the club, like, even after the manager or whatever disrespected Kathy. And she just, once again, didn't show loyalty to her sister. She never showed loyalty to Kim when she was on the show. And she just pisses me off.
Yeah, it wasn't clear to me that she had known what went down with the DJ at the time. She said Kathy came over to her and she explained that, like, it was the tone in which Kathy said it, like, you are going home with me right now. Like, it seemed to me a lot of, like, little sister being like, go fuck yourself. Like, I can do my own thing. You don't control me, as opposed to, like, oh my God, I need to protect you right now. Like, Kathy didn't come to her in a place of vulnerability, like, please, I need your support. It was more like directive and, I don't know, dictator vibes.
Yeah, I think I would have still stepped out to have a convo with my sibling to see what was up.
Yeah.
Especially if there are cameras around and people are going to leak to media and whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I would do it to, like, save her face.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just think there's so much pent up issues with her and Kathy that are never going to be resolved. Like, they're just going to be in constant state of tension for the rest of time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're already, like, in their 50s and 60s. So
yeah,
it's not going to go away.
They need, like, family therapy.
Yeah. I don't even know if that would work. But there was another thing that happened on the reunion that we missed, which was Garcelle's son coming up and then playing the tape back.
Yeah. And Dorit said that she was laughing about it afterwards, her and Kyle were. And she's like, well, you know, I was just like, I hadn't seen the clip yet. Like, you, I didn't know, like, what it was. And Garcelle's like, how would that ever be funny even if you hadn't seen the clip yet?
Yeah, like, doesn't make any sense. What does the clip have to do with it? It's just, imagine if Garcelle told, like, Portia or Phoenix to fuck off. Like, Dorit and Kyle would have turned that into 5 episodes.
100%. And it's just so annoying. Like, Erica was like, yeah, I was wrong. I said I'm sorry. But, like, her stories, her apologies, they're just platitudes. Like, there's no heart or feeling. They're so empty. So then when they're like, Garcelle's like, can you move on? She's like, it just sucks because if I keep harping on this, people will be like, why can't you just let it go? She apologized.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, clearly she's not forgiven because her apology means fucking nothing. Like, it's so empty.
There was a tweet that I wanted to read out. And it says, Garcelle exemplifies many people of color who are gaslit, mocked, and subjected to microaggressions and blatant racism in the workplace. Andy Cohen exemplifies many white employers and HR departments who ignore and make light of the experience of their people of color employees.
Yeah, totally.
And I really didn't like how Andy handled all of it with Garcelle.
No, me neither. I was listening to Rachel Lindsay on a podcast and she's like, let me at him, like, let me at these people. And I was like, wow, could you imagine having somebody who's like a staunch advocate for Black rights and women of color coming in against these Beverly Hills housewives and just like saying all the things that actually need to be said that you'd say if you weren't like, didn't have favorites and didn't have like a vested interest like Andy does. Like, it would be so refreshing to see them put to the test.
Well, you just know
someone actually challenging them.
You just know that like Kyle, Dorit especially, and Erica and Brenna would be like, oh my god, she was so angry and scary when she was coming at us.
Yeah, Rachel said that on the podcast. She's like, I've already been painted as the angry Black woman, so like, yeah, I don't give a fuck if people come for me for that again.
I guess you could just like own it.
Yeah, it's like, screw it, fine, you already think this
what
about
do you have
me.
To lose. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, changing gears to Winterhouse. Not much to talk about, but
I can't believe like Beverly Hills came and it's gone.
I can. It was on forever.
Really? Like, we waited so long for it, and it feels like it was just May yesterday when it started.
Oh god, not for me. It feels like it's been on TV forever. I'm ready to see it go.
We are not on the same wavelength today.
No. Okay, Winterhouse?
Yeah.
Not much I want to talk about here. I just want to talk about the confrontation between Jess and Luke about his inappropriate touching. And it was really interesting, that conversation, because I was really proud of Jess for coming into it like very confident and very sure of herself after she had like just opened up to the girls about how she finds it very difficult to like be vocal about when she's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like, they gave her the courage that she needed to go into that conversation. And I appreciated how she was like, she came off a little bit abrupt, but she was like, look, I'm going to say my piece and then that's going to be it. And Luke is like, can I then have an opportunity to respond? She's like, nope. I just want to say my piece and then we can move on. And he's like, Kate, noted. And I was like, I actually respect that, because I think she knows that of course it doesn't come from a malicious place and that's what he's going to say. But like, that's besides the point. It's like, just a lesson needs to be learned and taken forward. And he doesn't need to necessarily like apologize or give an explanation, because it doesn't matter. It's just like, just take the lesson, take the note, and move on with your life.
Basically, intention versus impact.
Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciated that conversation. And it seemed like Luke maybe for the first time got it. But it was also interesting. I saw some clips flashing back to Summer House when Sierra tried to set a boundary of Luke not texting her after 9:30 p.m. And him like diminishing that and like blowing right past it and like trying to paint her as ridiculous. I was like, oh, yeah, there has been a history to this.
Yep, there has. And he kind of did it with Hannah too. And you know, I don't usually vouch for Hannah. So
I'm excited to see her vindicated in whatever way she gets vindicated this year at Summer House.
The other thing that happened on Winter House was Austin came, and there was a bit of weirdness between him and Sierra when they were playing the speed dating thing.
Yeah, there was. But I feel like Sierra is mostly over it, but it's like she's not making a huge deal of it, but she's still not like buddy buddy with him. She's still like, you know what, you fucked me over, I'm not totally over it, not fully cool with you, but whatever.
You can tell there's like a little room for her to be persuaded, and I hope she stays strong.
Yeah, I think she will. I think she's past it.
Yeah, fingers crossed. But Austin did kind of say that he was with Olivia.
Yeah, but no label, like they were just like in the gray area. It's just so interesting. I just need like a bar, like a timeline graph of like all these shows on like a graph of the year, so I can see how everything overlapped and lined up.
Because the thing is, he said that when it was filmed back in February 2022, and then the reunion for Southern Charm was filmed like a month ago, where he said that him and Olivia don't have a label, they're not together.
Yeah, but that would have been after Summer House was filmed.
Right. What?
Yeah. Well, Winter House was filmed before the Summer House reunion.
Southern Charm reunion.
Sorry, Winter House was filmed before the Southern Charm reunion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Are we saying the same thing?
Yes.
We're on the same page?
Finally. Maybe it's just so foreign to us right now.
And then there was one other thing I wanted to discuss, which was Amanda pointing out that, like, Paige has no hesitancy to point out when Kyle's being ridiculous and rude and egregious, but not ever pointing that out with Craig. And I was like, that is a really fair
point. It's true.
Yeah. It's true. And then she's followed it up with, like, but you know, it's different when you're in a relationship and, like, you don't want to challenge them. I was like, okay, but, like, it shouldn't be. Like, you should have an equal standard for behavior for everybody.
Agreed. It's just a very classic case of you can't judge until you're in those shoes.
Yeah.
But I will say, I am surprisingly actually really enjoying Winter House. I wasn't excited for it. I didn't care for it. I thought it was going to be super boring, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, so am I. I'm on board. It's very light for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay, let's touch on Bachelor in Paradise.
Boring.
It's on tonight again. But last night's, I just want to talk about a few of the fights that have been going down. So this whole Aaron and Jen debacle.
Genevieve, girl, it's got to be exhausting to constantly have these breakdowns.
I just couldn't believe, like, she just came across in my mind as so manipulative.
So manipulative.
Agreed. Aaron was vocalizing very calmly, like, a feeling that he had about feeling not special, feeling like a second choice. And instead of, like, comforting him and giving him reassurance and telling him, like, that's not how it is, she broke down crying and was mad at him for feeling insecure.
And she made it about herself. And then he was apologizing. And I was like, no, Aaron, you have nothing to apologize for.
I know. Like, he immediately started apologizing and comforting her. I was like, this is so fucking twisted. Like, this is not what should be going down. And she's like, I just am so offended that, like, you don't think I'm into you. It's like, that's your fucking problem to solve. That's not, you can't get mad at him for that. That's, like, on you to make him feel special then. Like, you can't just be mad at him for having feelings.
Yeah, like, all
she And, like, needed- if the roles were reversed, like, dude, yeah. Everyone would be pissed at her.
Totally. All she needed to do is be like, oh my God, Aaron, I'm so sorry. Like, no, let me remind you, I'm so into you, this and that. Like, how can I convey that to you? Yeah.
Yeah. What can I do for you?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so toxic. Such an
easy fix. But there was one line that Aaron said in his spiel that I wanted to say. So he's like, I want you to see me the way James sees me. And I was like, yeah, I want everyone to see me, like, my potential suitors to see me the way Laura sees me.
Same.
I'm going to start saying that. I just want you to see me the way Laura sees me.
Yeah.
I'm a big girl.
That is really sweet. I didn't catch him saying that.
They're so cute, James and Aaron.
That is cute.
Yeah.
Okay, then the other fight was... okay, so Eliza and Rodney. So Eliza's been dating Rodney. Justin all of a sudden comes down... decides that he's there purely for Eliza, which is really fucking weird.
So weird.
Asks Eliza to go on a date. She says yes before talking to Rodney. She then goes to Rodney and is like, so, like, I'm going to go on this date. And he's like, okay, like, go. I encourage you to explore. Like, he's taking the high road, being like, I'm not going to tell you what you can or can't do. It's up for you to decide. I'll support you either way. I'll be here waiting. And then she's mad at him because she wants...
Well, he said, sorry. I don't want you to go, but I respect, like, this is the process.
The process.
I'd rather you go and get some clarity.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, I want you to tell me that you don't want me to go. And he's like, girl. Okay, I don't want you to go. And then he goes on to be like, but, you know, like, it is the process. Like, he goes back to, like, his mature route. And then she goes on this date and is, like, telling Justin, like, you know, I, like, Rodney, I asked him if I could go and he didn't tell me no. So it's like, fine, fuck you. I'll go, like, exploit you as a relationship. So obviously you're not going to fight for me. It's like, why? What frustrates me so much is that these people who get asked on a date, instead of making a decision as to where they feel they stand in their relationship and who they want to explore, they put it on the other person to dictate whether they should or should not go and make the decision for them. It's like, no, it's your fucking decision. You got invited. say yes or no and run with it. Like, don't ask the other person to make the decision for you and then get mad if they don't make the decision you want them to make.
Agreed. And it's like, Eliza, baby girl, these emotionally mature men are few and far between. You have one in your lap. Don't let go.
I know. Totally. Like, I don't see her as a match with Justin, and it just seems stupid to me. Like, she didn't even know who he was before he came down. She came to the beach wanting to be with Rodney. You've got Rodney. It's like, what are you doing?
Well, I don't want her to have Rodney anymore. Like, she doesn't deserve him.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's too immature for Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney's, I could have a gem. Seen like a Rodney and like Sierra, like, yeah, if they were into each other, they would have been such a good, healthy couple.
I think so too. That's actually a really good one. Too bad she left. But okay, Sierra, speaking of Sierra, well, actually Michael, I don't need Danielle and Michael to narrate the show. Did you notice that? I was like, I know what's going on. Why are you guys narrating it? I'm literally watching the show.
Yeah. And you notice it more with them because I just like am not interested with them. Brittany is like a huge narrator, but I actually like Brittany and like seeing her on my screen because that's the only time she ever gets screen time. So I don't mind it as much. But with like Michael and Danielle, I'm like, I really don't care. You've been here for 2 seconds, Danielle. Like, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Like, shh. I'd really like for Danielle to stop commenting on couples that she's known for like 30 seconds.
Especially like she's like, you know, I can't believe Victoria would even think about not picking Johnny. He's such a catch. He should pick her immediately. It's like, you don't even know this guy.
Yeah. Let's talk about Victoria and Johnny.
What?
Do you still feel the same as last week?
Yeah, I do. Nothing's changed.
I just think that Johnny only likes Victoria for her looks and was scared that he wouldn't be picked, not that he would lose her. I think he's very emotionally immature. Like, don't you remember when Victoria wasn't wearing makeup and he was like, you look so different?
Yeah. But I haven't seen any indication from him that, like, he's only in it for her looks. Like, I find him coming across very genuine when he talks about her. And I feel like he liked her before it was like, oh my gosh, is she going to pick this other guy? Like, he was set on her and going to choose her either way. And that was before he knew there was even another guy in the picture. Like, he sat on that beach while she was away the entire time, pining for her and waiting for her. So it's not like he turned it up the minute like there was another guy in the picture.
I suppose when she called him over to chat after she was with Alex, he was like, yo.
Yeah, I think he's extremely insecure from this entire situation for sure.
Yeah, I think he's an avoidant.
Yeah, like, I definitely don't think that they should be together or stay together, that they're right for each other. But like, I stand by my feeling that he's the better choice over Alex.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see how it plays out tonight.
Well, tomorrow for me. But yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty late. Oh my god,
so much TV tomorrow. Love is Blind and BIP. Oh my god, there's no BH reunion or anything. Who? BH tomorrow.
Like Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
We're done with it. It's over.
Aw. Two different reactions here. That means that on Thursday, I'm only going to have the Kardashians to watch. Sad.
Yeah. The sads. You can start watching The Challenge or Survivor.
No, I'm going to read my books.
Loser. Nerd.
Nerd. That's a nickname I'm okay with having.
Oh, okay. I get called that all the time.
Sticks and stones.
All right, well, that concludes another episode of Pop Therapy. So we might be back next week. We may be back next Thursday. You'll never know. We'll keep you guessing around here.
Catch me outside. How about that?